Guys, winter's still hanging on here, and the good news is so is Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. They're here for all four seasons, thus the name. You can stay warm and save money. Whether it's repair, maintenance, or installation, there's always a Four Seasons trusted local expert nearby, ready to help 24/7. I've used them for all those, repair, maintenance, and installation. Recently had an air conditioner installed. Recently had a brand new toilet installed. I'll have them come over for the seasonal maintenance for the air conditioning coming up here before spring begins. You can call today and save $35 on any repair. For all the right reasons, call my guy at Four Seasons, 866, the number Four Seasons. That's 866, Four Seasons.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Did I hear you guys talking about more signings? Is that what I heard you guys talking about during the break? Or no?
It's a little confusing.
Did we have a source off? We have a little bit of a source off.
Oh,
here.
Interesting.
So Rapp has tweeted that a dark horse emerges. The Jaguars are closing in on a deal to sign Eric Armstead. But then Diana Rossini tweets, Eric Armstead is signing with the Bills.
Okay, he's the former captain of the 49ers.
Correct. They released him because of cap reasons.
I really don't care where he signs between those two teams, quite frankly. So it doesn't bother me either way.
Who's right? He's not coming here.
Yeah, he's not coming here. It did fit of someone like they would like, but the production isn't there.
He's been banged up a little bit too, hasn't he? Over the course of time, isn't he 30?
He's 30 years old.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, good guy, good leader, kind of a part-time player at this point, I would think.
Yeah. If you want to talk football with us before we get to Lewis Riddick, you got about a half hour. 312-332-3776. Lewis is always Can't Miss Radio. A lot of talk about the quarterback situation. I wrote about it today, getting a lot of traction there. A lot of people agreeing, a lot of people disagreeing.
I took a stray? Is that what happened? I took a stray?
Yeah, you want the, let's see, I bookmarked it. Let's see where I could find my bookmarks here.
Yeah, I sent I sent back a tweet of SpongeBob under the blanket, you know, shivering and
terrified. Oh, you found
terrified.
It? So, yeah.
I don't have many. It was right at the top. I only have a few people coming after me, not a litany of them. It really is unlike anything I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm 57 years old.
Yeah, the latest in this is not like whether it's Justin or Caleb. It's, you know, can the two coexist? And my point has been, I don't think it's good for anybody. I even wrote in my column that, like, if you're a Justin fan, I don't think this is what Justin would want.
I don't think so.
Like, why would Justin want this? Why would he want to go back and learn another offense only to be traded during the season? When they've already told him, if they choose Caleb Williams or another quarterback, why would he want to, when they've already said to him, hey, you're not our guy long term. We're not interested in your services long term, but come on back, whether it's compete or just be the backup. Why would he want to be here?
I don't. It's a really good question.
To learn under his third offense in 4 years, only to be traded before the trade deadline.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports.
That got ESPN me because it was like right at the beginning of the show, so I'm guessing it's important.
It's another quarterback trade.
God.
Sam Howell is going to the Seahawks.
Okay. So he's going to
there's really no room in Washington if you assume that they're going to draft
a rookie.
Perfect timing too for Lewis Riddick, because I believe Lewis has been on the conversation that Justin would be best suited going to Seattle, and Seattle should pursue him.
Well, let me ask you this: could there be a Justin for Geno trade, and then they draft Penix there? And Howell starts.
So I've got Justin, Howell, and Penix all in my quarterback room. I don't think so, but
no.
Nothing's shocking.
No. Right now they got three anyway, don't they? Or you just think they're going
they
with Geno and Howell?
Remember they traded?
Right.
He left via free agency.
So you think it's just going to be Geno and Howell?
I think they were very non-committal with Geno. I wouldn't be surprised if they
could move him.
Yeah, move on from him.
Well, listen, like I said, the new offensive coordinator there is a guy that is coming from the University of Washington who is more than a little bit familiar with Michael Penix.
Right.
Whether or not they're going to have the opportunity to draft him or not, I don't know. But Desmond Ridder was traded earlier from the Falcons to the Cardinals. Like, I would have never in a thousand years predicted all. There's been more quarterback movement probably than any other position in all of free agency or this period of time, or at least as much.
How many quarterbacks have changed teams so far this offseason? Do we have a tally on that?
I got Russ. We'll just start here. I got a brief list. I got Russ to the Steelers. I got Cousins to the Falcons. I got Minshew to the Raiders. I got Jameis Winston to Cleveland. Mayfield stayed. Brissett to the Patriots. Tyrod Taylor to the Jets. Sam Darnold to the Vikings. Locke to the Giants. Now I've got Foles stays in Nashville, so that's not one. And now we've got Sam Howell in Seattle.
Flacco to Indy.
Did you mention Ridder?
Flacco to Indy. That's right. I did not mention Ridder to the Cardinals.
There's a lot more. Like we got to find tally.
It's crazy.
On the amount of quarterbacks.
If you would have told me that you would have had this amount of movement and the Bears would not have been part of it, I would have said no chance. But chance
that there looks like 16 quarterbacks 16. Have moved
16.
If you include the three or the two trades and then the release and signing of Russell Wilson.
At this point, I think Charles Robinson has presented the one scenario that makes most sense to me, and we'll talk to him at 5:30.
See, but today. Yesterday or 2 days ago at this time, you were sold on Indy as the backup.
Yeah.
And now we're like,
well, listen, you got to stick and move.
I mean,
things change quickly here on the quarterback front.
And Charles Robinson is going to join us at 5:30. He joined us at the beginning of the offseason, too, and he said, and he did the research where all the executives were like, look, the move is to draft Caleb Williams. I think he polled like 9 out of 10 executives.
Yeah.
They all said, the 9 out of 10 said, you got to draft Caleb Williams and move on from Justin Fields. Now, like his article last night, it came out late last night, was the best play would be for the Bears to send him to Philly, and there's that connection. They've made a lot of moves with each other. Ian Cunningham used to be over there in Philadelphia. They made the draft night trade last year. You send him to Philly. He's the backup there. He takes a lot of the running plays maybe away from Hurts, so he saves them on wear and tear. So he comes in for some of the plays during games. And then, and same style of quarterback, and then maybe they're more willing to flip him at the trade deadline if an injury happens, as opposed to the Bears.
It would make more sense for Philly because Justin could come into your locker room and your environment, and really, I don't believe that it would disrupt anything. They've already got their $200 million quarterback. It would be an opportunity for them to have an accomplished backup. And as you said, like, listen, let's just play the what-if game. What if you gave up a fifth-round pick for him and you were able to turn him for a four in the fifth week of the season when someone gets hurt?
Right. I mean, it's a good investment then for you.
By the way, the compensation has been verified now. The Seahawks are getting Sam Howell, a fourth-round pick, and a sixth-round pick from the Commanders. In exchange, the Seahawks are sending back their third and fifth rounders.
Very confusing.
So they're basically moving up in a round to the third and the fifth.
So the Seahawks are giving their fourth to get the Commanders' third, and the Seahawks are also giving their sixth to get the Commanders' fifth, and they're then sending Sam Howell there.
Okay.
Which is similar to what you suggested for a Fields deal. You know, get where Poles packages a draft pick with Fields and doesn't actually get a pick back. But he gets to move up.
They move up the round, yeah. Right. So getting back to the we'll talk to Lewis about this. I've got some sound to play. So I tweeted out my column today about what we've been talking about the last couple of days. Like, I really believe that it's just not the time or place. I don't run from competition. I like competition, but I just don't believe that this is good for anybody at this point. For the Bears, if they do draft Caleb Williams, to bring in Caleb Williams and Justin Fields to the same locker room, to the same camp. I don't think it's good for Eberflus. I don't believe it's good for Williams. I don't believe it's good for Justin. I don't believe it's good for the team. I don't believe it's good for the fan base. I don't believe it benefits anybody. And if you say that you're a fan of competition, I believe that the competition is already over because they've made the determination that Caleb Williams is their man. They've already determined the winner of the competition because they're saying we're trying to trade Justin Fields in favor of getting Caleb Williams. We just can't trade him, so we're forced to keep him. So there is no competition. That's why I'm not, this isn't a true competition. So you can yell at me and say, you're running from competition, but I'm not, because this isn't competition. And this isn't the Packers, because this isn't Favre a Hall of Famer. This isn't Rodgers a Hall of Famer when they brought in Jordan Love. These are totally different situations than Kansas City when Alex Smith was spinning it for 4,000 yards and they were a playoff team. Justin ain't that player that Favre, Rodgers, and Alex Smith was. Not even close. They've already determined they want to get rid of Justin. So all those narratives that you're spinning at me, I don't get. So the sign god tweeted me saying, yes, you can, Sylvie. You can bring both of them in. He says, you're scared in life, like you said. You've turned Waddle, one of the toughest Bears ever that wasn't on defense, into a soft, scared man, just like you now, too. Talking about football is different, and you can't have competition? ! F that!
I'm a shell of a man right now. Terrified. I can't even get out of my seat. I'm just going to pee my pants. I have to use the men's room. But I'm so terrified of my own shadow, I'm not going to be able to get out of this chair, so I'm just going to wet myself.
But you could blame me for that. It's not your fault. It's not you, it's me.
No.
You're soft as the underbelly of a turtle ever since you and Sylvie have been partnered up.
It's such great deduction and logic on his behalf that because my opinion doesn't align with his, it just makes me a soft coward. Which may be true in a different way, but in this particular scenario, A plus B is like equaling W. It doesn't flow. It doesn't work. This is not about being a coward. My opinion is it's not good for anyone, as you enunciated. Doesn't make sense to me. Not all competition is made the same. And you don't have to take it from me, okay? Don't take it from me. Just my opinion. Take it from Lewis Riddick. He'll join us at 3:30 because he has a similar perspective. Take it from Dominique Foxworth, who's got a similar perspective. If you don't think that I have the courage to stand up for competition, maybe you feel the same way about Lou and Dominique.
So Lewis is a former player and then, of course, a former front office worker. And Dominique Foxworth is a former player and the guy who used to run the union for the players union. So he's a forward thinker. I want to play that for you coming up next. You'll hear what... The way Dominique Foxworth says, look, you may lose the battle, but the goal is to win the war here. You may lose the negotiation over Justin, but the goal is to win the war. I'll let him explain that coming up next. All right, guys, it's Toyota's Ready, Set, Go sales event from now until April 1st. It's the perfect time for an exciting new Toyota. Just like I got, I upgraded from the RAV4 to the Sequoia. I loved the RAV4, 40 miles to the gallon. Now I love my brand new Sequoia. Now that the weather is warming up and spring is here, imagine all the adventures you can have in a brand new Toyota. Let's get excited about spring break travel. Imagine taking the family on a road trip in the Grand Highlander or loading bikes into the Tundra for a spring ride, or maybe it's hopping into the sleek Camry for a weekend getaway. And the best part, every new Toyota comes with Toyota Care. It's a 2-year or 25,000-mile no-cost maintenance plan with roadside assistance. It's a value that you can expect from Toyota. So let your imagination run wild at your participating Toyota dealer. Ready, set, go. Visit your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer or Toyota.com today. Toyota, let's go places.
follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
But I want to play you, like we said, Dominique Foxworth, longtime defensive back in the league. This was on Get Up. He was also the head of the players union, negotiated with the owners for many years. Again, like, there are some former players like Jim Miller and Kyle Long, Yurko, who believe that you can do this and pull this off. There are others who think it's a bad idea. This is Dominique Foxworth, and he thinks that it would be, if you do trade Caleb, if you do draft Caleb Williams or another quarterback, that keeping Justin Fields around would be a bad decision.
Anytime I'm making decisions like this, you try to assign some probability to the outcomes. Yeah. And I feel like, given my experience, and I'm with you, just because no one else has ever done it before doesn't mean it can't be done. And maybe Justin Fields and Caleb Williams have the disposition that can allow you to keep them in there at the same time and work through this. Maybe they don't. I haven't seen it happen in the past where two young guys who expect to be stars in this league coexist at that position. I haven't seen it work. I feel like the probability of it going wrong, if you keep them, is higher than the probability of it going well. Mm-hmm. So give me my sixth round pick. Sorry, Justin, you gotta go. Y'all can laugh at me because I lost the transaction, but I won the transaction that ended up with Caleb. I won the transaction that ended up with a pass rusher. Like, I've won plenty of transactions, and I'm going to win some damn games, and I have a franchise quarterback whose growth is not going to be impeded by other people and other nonsense that's around. So, yeah, I don't want to sell anything for less than it's worth, but I also don't want to devalue the highest asset that's been in the draft in years in Caleb Williams. I do not want to put anything that's in his way that would impede his progress from becoming what we think he could become. And if that costs me a second-round pick, so damn be it.
He must be soft, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, imagine somebody have a different opinion. Look, everybody's welcome to how they feel. I'm not telling you it can't work. I'm telling you emphatically I wouldn't do it. I'm not here to tell you what your opinion is. Not you, but I mean the listener. I'm here to tell you my opinion. In my opinion, and I value it, but I don't value it any more than Yurko's opinion or Kyle Long's opinion or anybody else's opinion. My opinion is it's not good for anybody. I agree with how you stated it. I don't think it works positively for anyone. You're basically taking a pack of firecrackers and lighting them and throwing them in Shane Waldron's groin.
Right.
Like, I'm coming to Chicago to coordinate this offense. Oh, wait a second. Not only do I have a group that really is passionate about the incumbent, now I've also got the first overall pick. Now, which offense am I? I'm going to install this offense. Do I have to tweak it over here? Which reps am I? I just don't think you need that.
He's like trying to learn every player in the Bears huddle. He doesn't know anybody.
This isn't Andy Reid running the Chiefs.
The head coach doesn't know his coordinators. No. He's never gone to battle with any of them. My point is, like, when Yurko says, oh, do you want to coddle these guys? My point is, it's so hard as it is for a quarterback to establish himself. It's really hard for Eberflus as it is. They started 0-4 last year. Yeah. They're still trying to be a winning team. That's really hard. I'm trying to make this as easy as possible for them to succeed. So I'm trying to take as many distractions away to make the goal of success a little bit easier. I'm not trying to coddle anybody, but I know there are going to be really impossible tasks ahead. We made it really hard on Justin.
Of course, don't do it again.
Don't F this up again.
Yeah, they screwed it up as an organization with Justin.
And I was pissed about it.
Of course, and we've acknowledged that quite a bit. And Ryan Poles talked to us about infrastructure for a quarterback and how important it is. I'm telling you that the infrastructure for the next guy has to be better than the infrastructure for the last guy. And this is not about courage. Okay, this is not about anything attached to being, you know, tough. This is just an opinion, and this is how I feel they should go forward. That's all it is.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with courage.
Let's talk to Lewis Riddick about this. And does he think that there's any chance that the Bears wouldn't take Caleb Williams? Is there any chance of that?
They're going to go for the haul.
Because the Commanders have gotten more draft picks or better draft picks because of the trade.
They're going for the haul! I just wanted to do that.
We'll talk to Lewis Riddick next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
All right, one of our favorite guys to talk some football with. Here is a free agency here. Continues to roll on. We'll see if the Bears do get a pass rusher here. We'll talk about that coming up. They have a visit today. Lewis Riddick is outstanding at what he does. But I got to tell him about that. Yeah. He joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline as he joins Waddle and Sylvie. What's up, Lewis?
What's going on, man?
I don't know.
What's the butt? What do you got for me?
I don't know if you know this. You have been called soft.
By who?
By a lot of Bears fans.
Soft in what regard?
I was called soft.
We've all been called soft. So if you don't think that the Bears can handle Caleb Williams and Justin Fields in the same locker room with a good old-fashioned competition, you're soft.
You're soft, huh?
Yeah.
You know what? You know, I've long learned to, like, not listen to the vocal whatever they are, the majority, minority of Bears fans. Because I'll bet a lot of these people were the same people who were shooting off their mouth 2 years ago in the preseason when the Bears beat the Seahawks in the preseason when we were televising the game. And I was saying that Seattle was going to have a decent year, that they were doing some good things, and that, you know, I said that the Bears might struggle this year. They might wind up with a number one pick. And they were like, they just kicked Seattle's ass. This is why you're not a GM. You don't know why. I'm like, oh, so week two of the preseason, that's why, huh? That's why. Yeah. And then what happened, we know what happened. And so now I'm soft for saying that, hey, you know what? There's a kid out there right now who's swinging in the wind. And to my knowledge, unless him and Ryan Poles have had some conversations, he doesn't know what's going on as far as if he's staying or if he's going. Ryan says that he wants to do right by the guy. He says he's still moving through the process, whatever that means. I don't know if that means he's still evaluating Justin or if he's just evaluating the quarterback. He's evaluating whether or not he should move down and keep Justin. He's trying to evaluate whether or not he's down because he can still get the quarterback that he wants. No one knows exactly what that means. But to me, okay, so if you draft the number one overall,
mm-hmm.
or if you move down to, I don't know, you move down and still draft the quarterback, and you pass on one of the top two quarterbacks. I don't know how. See, there's just so many different permutations to this. But if you move down, so you're telling me you're going to keep Justin and just let them just compete. So you're going to take reps away from a guy who you just drafted one, two, or three overall, and you're going to make him compete with a former number one pick, and every day have those questions surrounding those two being asked of everyone in the organization, having these kids look at each other like, look, I'm basically getting cheated here every day because I'm not really getting the kind of input put into me, into my development and my time, which we already know there's never enough time to help a young quarterback, you know, really get to where he needs to get to.
Now more than ever, because they don't have contact with the guys the way they did back in our days, Lewis.
Exactly. So you're going to stunt the growth and the development of both guys. The guy who you just drafted, maybe number one or number two overall, and the guy who, by all accounts, still needs growth and development. That being Justin Fields. And let's take the human component into this. Right? Do you really think at this point he wants to be there? Do you really think that he would want to be there and would really be in the kind of headspace that you want him to or that you need him to if you kept him around? I mean, it's just so stupid when people start saying this kind of stuff to me, because it's like you start talking about these guys as if they're robots and they're interchangeable parts. And if this is just fantasy football, or like trading football cards, like I used to when I was a kid. It's like, just come on. Look, I don't know what Ryan has in store. I don't know what deal looks like is going to be most likely for him. But like now with Sam Howell getting traded from Washington to Seattle, which I thought would be a place that, man, that would be a nice fit for Justin Fields to go and compete with Geno, learn from Geno, new regime, fresh start. And they traded for Sam Howell. I'm like, is that because they didn't want to trade for Justin Fields? They didn't want Justin Fields. Ryan didn't like what they were offering. Ryan doesn't really want to trade. It's like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah. Lewis, I mean, look, I was undrafted. You were drafted, but you and I, our lives were competition at every level. So, like, that just, that's nonsense, that I'm afraid of a competition. I just don't think that this is the right approach for all involved. The Bears, exactly. Justin, Caleb, and throw this wrench into the mix as well. Shane Waldron is not his first time calling plays, but it's the first year he's going to be the offensive coordinator with this team. Does he have to change his offense for the first five plays of practice for Justin to fit his skill set and then change them for whether it's Caleb Williams or Drake May? It's just like, I'm not afraid of competition, but it doesn't make sense. It doesn't feel like that would be good for really anybody.
Look, that's the kind of talk that people have when they kind of like want to boil this game down to being something like it was, like we're playing Pop Warner football here, right? And we're just, and Johnny and Mikey on the Pop Warner 80-pound team just need to fight it out to be the best. Who's the best guy? When you've got a bunch of, overzealous parents out there, arguing about who should be the starter. This is professional football. This is not – look, when you're dealing with a position that's this delicate and you have invested the kind of draft capital that they're going to have invested in that position with, both this year and in Justin also, you need to make that situation about as clean, as healthy, and as productive to where every single day you are maximizing your ability – to get the most out of this young man, pour the most into this young man so you can get the most out of him, and so he can be in the right mindset every day to put the maximum into what it's going to take to play quarterback in the NFL and then be able to perform at a level that if he doesn't perform at, you can best believe the same people who are saying now, let's let him fight it out and find out who's the best guy will be the same people talking about the Bears management sucks. Fire the GM. They don't know how to pick a guy. Fire the coach. They don't know how to develop anybody. Let's just start over. Then all those cliches will come out. Let's reset the clock again. Let's reset the clock and draft a guy. That way you can have more cap space and you can just build. It's like a perpetual, it's a never-ending cycle when you do things like that that don't take into account the human element in all this, especially at that position. Ryan had it right when he said this. I want to do right by the kid. I'm trying to move through this process as best I can, as quickly as I can, because I don't want anybody, his words, to live in the gray. It's just that right now, with each passing day, maybe Ryan has a plan. Maybe he knows exactly what he's going to do. Our job is to try and figure out what he's thinking and what's going to happen and kind of read the tea leaves. And right now, I think all of us, we sat on set for the past 3 days trying to figure out, oh, where is he going with this? Where is it going? What's the market telling him? Why are all these quarterbacks that are going to these places that you thought would be maybe logical landing points for him, they're picking other people. They're bringing in other people. They're signing other people. Could it really wind up being a situation where did Ryan Poles never really want to trade Justin Fields? Was he never really? Now I think, now it's just, everything's on the table, I guess, because there is no new information coming out of there. It's not like he's going to call in and tell you. But it's, this is intriguing. That Sam Howell trade, that one for me, when I saw that, I was like, whoa, okay. There's another place off the board. So let's see what happens.
Lewis, what about this? Because I've been telling people, a lot of people have come at me saying, Sylvie, what about Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes? What about Favre and Rodgers? What about Rodgers and Love? And I say, totally different situations. What do you than what Fields and Caleb Williams would be? What do you what would you tell them?
That's not even close. I mean, they're not even close. Okay, so Alex Smith had settled into a role and was at a point in his career to where he was able to mentor Patrick Mahomes.
He was a Pro Bowler and year, too.
Exactly, exactly. He was the consummate professional. He had pretty much seen it all and had done it all relative to what his ability was and what his ultimate upside was. He just was. And Andy had explained to him, hey, look, we're going to, you know, we're probably looking at drafting a quarterback, and we're going to take this because we think, you know, we want to take it to another level. And he did right by him that next year and moved him on to Washington, and that was that. Okay? When you're talking about Favre and Aaron Rodgers, you're talking about a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback who was maybe on the downside of his career, but who had really established himself as a professional, established himself as a Hall of Famer at that point in time. Who's the other one that you brought up?
Then Rodgers and Love.
Oh, and Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. Yeah, I mean, look, there was speculation that, you know, maybe Aaron was going to be looking for an out and it was going to be time for him to move on. And, you know, maybe the coaching staff thought it was time for him to move on. Not because he wasn't good enough, clearly, because he still had plenty of ability and was going to be sought after by many, many different teams. I mean, in this situation, you're talking about a young developmental quarterback who hasn't even scratched the surface, and there's just no way you can make any kind of definitive determinations about what his career is going to look like, given what he's been subjected to, what he hasn't been subjected to, what he hasn't had at his disposal, and the number of years that he's been in the league. I mean, he's still so green. So those situations aren't even close to being the same. Here's a guy who's still hungry to try and prove who he is in the league. He's still on the ascent. He's not a veteran who has won a couple of Super Bowls, been to a couple of Pro Bowls, who maybe is looking for a change and or the team just wants to kind of reset and go the younger route. He's the guy who's like, hey, wait a minute. I haven't even been given a chance to really succeed here yet. I'm just starting to come on. Did you see how I started to play with DJ? Did you see how things started to kind of like progress for me? Like, that's not the same situation. Here you have a guy who's still trying to prove himself, who's still hungry to, like, climb the mountaintop, and then you bring in a number one overall draft pick or number two overall draft pick if you trade down, and you think that's the same situation as Rodgers and Favre or Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes or Rodgers and Love? Those are totally, totally different animals.
Yeah, and people need to be reminded that Ryan Poles did not select Justin Fields. So this will be his signature draft pick. Going forward. So
Lewis, you would want to set the deck for him
absolutely
about as clean as you possibly could.
So if you had to project what you thought was going to happen now based on what has transpired to this point.
Tommy, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I really don't know. Because all the logical places that you thought, okay, well, here's a team that could use a young starter, you know, when you start looking at, okay, going back weeks ago, could he go to Pittsburgh? Would he be good with Mike Tomlin? Would he be good with that young offensive line and strong running game and some of the weapons that they have? You know, and Arthur Smith, play action passing game, compete with Kenny Pickett? No. Atlanta, we go down there with Raheem, you know, and go down there and be coached by T.J. Yates in the quarterback room and Zach Robinson as the O.C. and that Sean McVay style of offense, Bijan, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, young offensive line. Yeah, Atlanta, he's back down. Makes sense. Nope. Now I start thinking, okay, well, if the obvious places where you think he could maybe be a starter in or compete to be a starter are out, then what places could he go to maybe compete / be a backup? Like Mac Jones did, you know, going to Jacksonville. And you know, so, you know, you start thinking about those places and, I mean, you start thinking about, okay, so maybe it's the New York Giants where he could go there and, you know, compete with Daniel Jones, maybe beat out Daniel Jones, maybe be the backup. Nope, they trade for Drew Lock. Well, they signed Drew Lock. And then you think about Seattle. Nope, trade for Sam Howell.
Lewis, Charles
maybe
Robinson.
You think about the Raiders, but the Raiders weren't going to. They weren't. I mean, Luke is out there, so that wasn't going to happen. Someone had brought that up the other day, but I was like, nah, Gardner Minshew. So it's like, well, I don't know. Yeah, Charles, I don't know anymore.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports wrote an article suggesting that maybe the perfect spot for him would be Philadelphia as a backup to Jalen Hurts, who knows the offense. And if Howie Roseman decides that maybe in the middle of the season when somebody may get hurt, he's got an asset that he could flip for comparable draft currency that he gave up for Justin. Does Philly make sense to you?
I guess at this point, anything does. Look, I you know, in Philadelphia, one of the things that Andy Reid had established a long time ago was that the ideal time to acquire a quarterback was when you don't need one,
right?
Because of how valuable they are. And remember, I mean, we had Donovan, I believe Kevin Cobb was still on the team, and Michael Vick when we signed Michael. And, you know, it looked like a situation where maybe at that, you know, we had Donovan McNabb, who was still pretty much in the prime of his career. And why would you need to sign Michael Vick? Why would you even want to go down that road? And we went down that road because, you know, Andy knew the value that quarterbacks hold and how valuable they are and how things can change very quickly on you with one injury or one situation you just don't foresee. It can just totally mess up your entire organization. And then what winds up happening? We keep Michael. Donovan goes to Washington. I mean, so it just that's the best time. So, yeah, I guess, you know, and Howie was obviously in Philadelphia, and Jeffrey's been on the team the whole time. So I don't know. Maybe that is something that they've talked about. Maybe that is something that they explore. Hell, I didn't foresee them making a run at Saquon Barkley. That's for sure. I don't think anybody else did either, because yeah. That's never been their MO. But when it comes to quarterbacks, I mean, I think you always have to entertain that kind of thing on paper, and then whether or not your team, your coaching staff, the individual players are set up to handle that kind of thing. Like, you're not going to disrupt the most important room in your building because you think on paper it looks great. And so what's the number one thing that everyone in Philadelphia who is following that team right now says is priority number one for Nick Sirianni this year and for Kellen Moore? Get Jalen Hurts right. Physically, mentally, from philosophical approach, scheme, strategies, tactics, how you're going to get him back on course. Is the right thing to do, bringing a guy like Justin Fields, who was uber freaking talented? And some people may go, hell, he's better than Jalen. you put him in the right system with, I mean, hell, you give Jalen Hurts the number one offensive line in football. If you give Justin Fields the number one offensive line in football, Saquon Barkley, Dallas Goedert, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, he may look totally different than he looked in Chicago. I bet you he looked a hell of a lot different. So do you want that? Do you want that kind of controversy in a city like Philadelphia where people were going, hey, didn't you just pay Jalen Hurts? And now this guy looks even better. Do you want that kind of thing? So it's more than just, you know, swapping players, erasing one guy and penciling in another. And Tom, you know this. You know how team building is more than just there's team building, there's acquiring talent. Okay, there's two different things. You can acquire all the talent in the world and it could be a terrible team. You can have less talent and have a very good team, less talented on paper, but be a much better team and win a lot of football games. New England made an absolute mastery out of doing that for two decades. Okay, so it's there's an art to it, and it looks different for every organization, and it's constantly evolving. So I don't know. Maybe there's a team that's going to jump up that is totally someone that is off the radar for all of us that follow this game, because right now all the logical places that you thought would make sense have all been kind of like locked up. And that's what makes this all the more intriguing. It really does.
I know you've gone back and forth, and we're talking to Lewis Riddick about Justin, like about whether it's him, whether it's Getsy, and if he's the one holding him back and how it didn't make sense. So if this was your decision, Lewis, would it be Caleb Williams at one? Would you trade down and bring Justin back and get more picks? What would be, look, if you were running the team, what would you, what decision would you make?
Look, like I've always said, originally, when looking at this, because I'm someone who believes wholeheartedly in the fact that players need structure and need help. Quarterbacks do. I don't care who it is. They just do. And he has not had the benefit of that. Okay? So much so to the point where if the structure, let's just say the base structure around him was so rock solid offensively, then they wouldn't have fired Luke Getsy in the offensive staff and reset on that side. So there's number one. Number two, we know that more weaponry is still needed. Okay? DJ's a great start, but that is not the end. Cole's a great start, but that is not the end. They need more. They just do. So that being said, I've said, you know what? I think Justin, we haven't seen his upside. So we maybe they should trade down and build around it. So then I start thinking, okay, well, is there information that Ryan Poles knows and that Matt Eberflus knows that none of us know as far as how Justin goes about his day, how he takes what the offense is trying to teach him, meaning offensive coaches, and how he practices it, how he retains it, how he executes it on game day. Is he holding the offense back, given what they're giving him? Is he not able to, you know, use all the stuff that they're trying to give him? Is it all, I don't know. Maybe they know that. Maybe they've already come to the determination that, you know what, looking at this draft class right now, if we had put a guy from this draft class in the same situation that he had been in, they would have been better than him. Maybe they come to that conclusion already. I don't know. So if that's the case, not knowing all the information like they know, then yeah, okay, do right by him, move on from him, try and get what you can get from him, don't have the kids sitting here dangling, and move on. So honestly, at this point, I'm fine with either one because I do believe that he still has not reached his full potential. But if they know, them knowing more information than I do, if they've made the determination that if they had dumped one of these quarterbacks in the same situation he was in, they would have been a better football team, then move on from him. I'm cool with that, too.
It is really
now. Now we just don't know what that looks like.
It is
like,
really,
where is he going?
It's simple, isn't it? Like, the evaluation process is hard. I've said this for months now. But to me, the decision is simple. And I think you just enunciated it, Lewis. If you believe that Caleb Williams or Drake May or Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy can take you somewhere Justin can't, and you think that that guy has to be drafted, draft him. If you aren't, if you're not, you don't have conviction with all of these guys, and you aren't sure, then keep Justin and trade the pick. Like, really, it's not that hard. The evaluation process may be difficult, but the decision seems to be cut and dry for me.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I would assume that they already know that. You know, they've already made that decision, given all the time that they have had with him and all the intel they've been able to gather. I think now, I would think that now it's just about what does the change look like and when is that change exactly going to happen? Like, when do we get the deal that we're comfortable with? Is it sooner rather than, I'm sure, like he said, like, hey, Ryan Poles said, he would hope that this would be something that is done sooner rather than later. Well, it doesn't look like it's going to be, again, unless there's some team that jumps up out of nowhere now and kind of and helps get this deal done. Because we know, obviously, it takes two to get a deal done. You have to agree on value. You have to agree on what the conditions are. And right now, assuming that that's what they're trying to do, which is move on from him because they made the determination that some that one of these young quarterbacks is better than him, clearly they haven't gotten the kind of terms that they thought they were going to get. Or the market is just that dry, which some people have put out there that, hey, man, from what I'm hearing, it's just not happening. Teams are just not that hot. They're just not relative to what they believe Chicago would want. So why would we move right now? Maybe we'll be interested later. Because we know every day that goes by, the price is going to come down. They're not really going to keep him. They wouldn't really draft a quarterback and keep both of them. That would just be like so, that would be so unhealthy for both quarterbacks involved. They're not going to really do that. They'll move him eventually. And with every day that goes by, it becomes a buyer's market. Mm-hmm. And every team knows that. So now, look, now that the first 48, 72 hours of free agency have happened, you know, as the new league year has commenced and nothing is happening, yeah, it just makes the speculation run wild. Because right now, I mean, I sit here and I look at these rosters and I think about this Chicago situation. I mean, the young man's got to be sitting there going, what the hell is happening here? Like, what is happening with me? Where's my life going? And I'm sure Ryan Poles is trying to get it figured out, man. But we just don't really know, like where this thing is going, which makes it every day even more intriguing.
Never a dull moment. No, it is every day on our show. Lewis, you're the best, even if you are a little bit soft. We appreciate you.
Thank you,
Lou. I'm soft. I know. It's all right.
Me too.
Take care, guys.
We appreciate you. Lewis. There's Lewis Riddick. He's one of our favorites. It's great. If you want to react to that, let's take some calls. We want to react to that. 312-332-3776. We're going to do the Justin Fields draft at 4:30. We'll make some predictions on where Fields ends up being at the start of training camp. Is that how we're doing it? The start of the season or at the start of camp? We do have some news, too.
Yes, about player that the Bears were interested in.
Let's give that now. Okay. I mean, because since it is news, DJ Wonnum is not coming here for his visit.
No.
According to the Panthers reporters, they are going to sign him.
Yes.
He is not leaving the building. He was supposed to arrive at House Hall tonight.
Sheena Quick has this. I believe she covers the Carolina Panthers. It's a two-year deal for $12.5 million.
Okay, so the Bears are still looking for another edge rusher. I believe, like, Cap has been suggesting Sweat from another Sweat.
Josh Sweat.
Josh
Sweat?
From Philly, who released him.
Sweat and Sweat?
The Sweat and Sweat edge rusher tandem. Yeah.
Yes.
They're not related, though, are they?
I know.
No, I'm just clarifying for others. I'm not saying that you didn't know, I'm clarifying and clarifying for others. But yes. So Wonnum is not coming here. Oof. So the Bears, they did sign a center today. We'll tell you more about that. We'll take your phone calls, 312-332-3776. Lewis says do not bring both of them into camp. That's his opinion. It's Waddle and Sylvie.